First up this morning, we cross to Cyprus, the EU member nation of about a million people, which will elect a new parliament today. It's widely expected that this will be a historic election for Cyprus, with the vote of traditional major parties plunging and an unprecedented surge of support for a right-wing populist party and a host of new parties. There are strong connections between Cyprus and Australia, which has one of the largest Cypriot migrant communities in the world. And indeed, among the record 753 candidates running for parliament in Cyprus today is someone born and bred in Australia, Costa Constanti. Costa spent 14 years working at the Australian High Commission in Nicosia, but in 2026, he's running for parliament with Volt, which calls itself the first pan-European party. And I'm very pleased to say that Costa Constanti joins us now to have a chat with Australia today. Thanks for joining us, Costa.
Thank you for having me. It's great to talk.
Yeah. Now, look, Cyprus, of course, is famously the site of the UN's longest running peacekeeping mission, with the north of the island occupied by Turkey since the 70s. You founded a bi-communal cafe right on the green line that divides Cyprus. I wonder if you could tell us about that initiative.
Yeah, sure thing. I was on the board of the Home for Corporation, which is the world's only public venue in a buffer zone. So between two ceasefire lines, in this case, between the Turkish troops and the Republic of Cyprus troops. And it's in an area that's manned by the United Nations. And some 15, 16 years ago, we said we wanted to create a cafe where people from both communities could come and mix without crossing to the other respective community. And we created this cafe, and it's still there to this day, thriving and doing well.
Fantastic. Well, let's move on to Cyprus politics now. I read an election preview by the Institute for European Politics, which says that 41 of 56 members of the Cyprus House of Representatives belong to the opposition. Now, my maths aren't very good, but that sounds a little bit different from the Australian system. Could you, and this might be a tough one, Costa, could you explain the political system of Cyprus to us?
Well, it's a little bit of a bit side. It's a little bit presidential. It's a little bit parliamentary. We have an executive presidency. However, the president is supported by political parties that are not in the majority. So his ministers are from some micro parties from the alleged centre and the far right. They do not have the majority, and but they basically have the president's signature on the bills they want to pass. Meanwhile, the parliament itself, the majority is not in the in the president's camp. So you can imagine what happens when they pass bills. The president can often send them back. So we have a little bit of a dysfunctional state at the moment. And we're hoping that tomorrow, well, today, Australia time, tomorrow, Cyprus time, we'll have a new parliament with some new powers to be.
Yeah, I wonder if you could sort of chart out the territory for us, Costa, because Australians, as you know, are used to there being two major parties, but here it's Labor and the Liberals. So who are the two major parties that have dominated Cypriot politics in recent decades? And then I wonder if you could give us a sense of the emerging parties, including the one that you're running for, which is Volt.
Thank you. So the equivalent of the Liberals here would be the C party, centre-right, and the equivalent of Labour would be AGEL. They name themselves communists, but they're basically centre-left. They, until now, have by far been the major two parties, well over 50% between them. But now they have plummeted down to 18 and 19% each. So you can imagine that neither of them have a strong mandate to run government. Then we have the emergence of the far right wing party, which is it was the love child of the Greek Golden Dawn, if you're familiar with them, which are outlawed in Greece. But they've established themselves in Cyprus. They call themselves Alam. They run on an anti-migrant, anti-foreigner, anti-LGBT, anti-peace building, anti-everything. And unfortunately, they're running third at the moment. They're polling at around 13, 14%.
So, and that's sort of double from last election, is that right?
Well and truly doubled, yes. The problem is that the next party is the fourth and fifth in line. It's anyone's guess who they are going to align with now. some of the members that are running with those, the fourth and fifth party, are actually far right wingers themselves. So if those characters are elected, they're likely to ally up with the far right. Meanwhile, the centre right that I mentioned this year, they actually have been flirting with the far right as well to hold power. In fact, together they elected the House President 5 years ago. So there is already history there. And everybody wants to be in favour with the president, so they're probably going to ally up. Then you have us, Volt. We're probably the fifth or sixth party in line, and the last before the cutoff. You need 3.6% to get in. We're polling at around, depending on which poll you look at, anywhere between 4 to 7%. So we're feeling pretty confident we're going to get in. We are up for negotiation with anyone except the far right. We're willing to work with anybody. Our sitting member that defected from the Greens party, that defected over to Volt a couple of years ago, she's been in the parliament on her own till now, and she has passed a record number of bills and questions in parliament on her own, but in partnership with members of both the major parties. So we work well with those that want to be moderate, progressive, forward-thinking, and want the best for Cyprus.
And Costa, what does it mean that Volt is the first pan-European party?
We're the only party that has sister parties, let's say, in all the European nations. So not just the European Union, but like even the United Kingdom. We have a chapter in Ukraine. We're looking at opening a chapter in Turkey. We have one opening up in Serbia. And basically what we do is we all work together. They are in the European Parliament. We have three MEPs from Germany and two from the Netherlands. And they not only represent Germany and the Netherlands, but they speak on behalf of all the European nations where Volt is present. And they speak for us as well as Cyprus. So Cyprus has six MEPs out of the around 700 that are in the European Parliament. Those six Cypriot MEPs obviously speak about Cyprus all the time. But then the five Volt MEPs also speak about Cyprus. So we very proudly tell the Cypriots, we have six Cypriots and five Europeans speaking for Cyprus in the European Parliament. Now, Cyprus Volt, the Cyprus chapter of Volt, it obviously is focused on Cyprus. It is the only political party that's bicommunal. So we have a Turkish Cypriot general secretary. We have another two Turkish Cypriot members of the political council amongst a total of 26 in the political council. We speak in Greek, we speak in English, and we speak in Turkish. And our ideal dream, let's say, is to unite the island much the way the European Union has united the continent.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Australian-born and bred aspiring Cypriot politician Costa Constanti. And Costa, I read that one of your motivations for running for office in 2026 relates to the position of repatriated Cypriots of the diaspora in Cyprus today. I wonder if you could tell us how much of the current Cypriot population falls into that category like you do, and what are some of the issues for that part of the population?
Well, that's actually a really good question. So when I talk about repatriated, I also include migrants into these bids, in this number. So 42% of the electorate is actually non-native Greek speaker, and that includes European Union citizens, it includes third nationals from other countries, and it also includes repatriated ethnic Cypriots that have come back to Cyprus. Like myself, having grown up in Melbourne, I came to Cyprus 20 years ago. I do happen to speak Greek, but a lot of us don't. Those that are repatriated, for the exact term, they're about 20% of the population. They have until now not been represented at all in the parliament. They've not had their voice heard in the parliament. There's a lot of there's a big push by the repatriate Cypriots from Australia, the UK, South Africa, the USA, Canada, and you name it, that are desperately wanting their voices heard in the parliament. They want to be counted. They want their concerns raised. They also want to share the best practice from our countries, from our birth countries, let's say, back into Cyprus. So I'm obviously very familiar with Australia, having worked there for so long, having been educated there and brought up there. I know a lot of best practice from Australia. All those years working with the Australian High Commission as well, worked with a lot of NGOs on various topics, and I want to now take that into the parliament and start sharing the best practice on the island.
Now, I've also read that the Cyprus conflict itself has potentially been less prominent as an issue in this election campaign than in previous ones. Would you agree with that, Costa?
It has been, and it's a double-edged sword, to be honest with you. Well, look, there's been a lot of other issues that have finally risen up to the surface that are actually more suffocating, let's say, today. So first of all, the housing crisis, the cost of housing, the cost of living, the war in the region, which we're part of, has, you know, jacked up the prices at the pump, at the supermarket, the bread and milk, as we say. Also, we're seeing a lot of the younger generation that haven't experienced the island, not caring as much because they don't have the passion to return home and so forth, like the older generation. So the electorate now is demanding answers. Also, people are much more aware today, much like in Australia, on climate change issues, on migration, education, healthcare, you know, traffic, you name it. So these issues, and I must say, part of it, there is a good way of looking at this in the sense that Cypriots are now starting to think of other issues that matter every day. On the other hand, however, the Cyprus issue, the Cyprus divide cannot continue. So corruption, for example, runs rife because the island is divided and the politicians hide behind the Cyprus problem. So if the Cyprus problem ceased to exist and the island was reunited, you'd be able to tackle corruption directly, hit it front on in a united island. And that's one of the reasons why we as Volt are really pushing the Cyprus problem forward, insisting on the reunification of the island, insisting on a normalization of the country and a normalization of our relationship with Turkey, which is our biggest neighbour.
And you mentioned being sort of involved in the war. There was a drone attack in March on a British military base. How much of an impact has that had on the population of Cyprus and, I suppose, the politics of this campaign?
Look, in the early days of the campaign, people did talk about the conflict, especially regarding Israel and Palestine. I mean, that was a hot topic, and it still is a hot topic. The Iran crisis as a conflict itself isn't a current hot topic, even though obviously the price rises are directly related to that. But regarding the drone attack, I must admit, Cypriots are probably amongst the most apathetic people on earth, and maybe that's and that may be because of millennia of conflict and invasions and occupations and foreign rulers. So, you know, the drone hit the British bases. We're talking literally just a couple kilometers away, I mean, and visible and audible from the, you know, the second biggest city of Limassol, and people just went about their business as if nothing happened. However, it decimated the tourism industry. Hotel bookings plummeted. Flights have been cancelled left, right, and centre. I actually got stranded abroad last week in the middle of the peak of the election period because I went to Brussels to meet up with the Volt Europa partners and I couldn't get back home because all the flights were being cancelled. However, there is no problem on the island. Life is as usual. The beaches are still beautiful. The hotels are still great. The cultural sites are still there and the food is still amazing.
Oh, well, Costa, I'll tell you what, if you don't get into Parliament, I reckon you could get a gig with the Cyprus Tourism Board. That's a great plug and it's been great to hear about the election campaign and the situation. Thank you so much for joining us, not least because I gather that you're at a wonderful wedding in the very late night in Cyprus at the moment. So thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
And you too. That's Costa Constanti, who is running for the Parliament of Cyprus, which has a parliamentary election later today, Australian and Cyprus time. And Costa's running for the Volt Party. This is Julian Morrow with you on Sunday Extra, and it's 24 minutes past 7.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.